Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 98. That guy over there is JJ.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Is that my cue?
Oh. That's your cue.
Hey there. Welcome.
And I'm Joe. He's
Joe. Oh, I'm posted. And yeah. That guy over there is Joe. I bet you were drinking quite different things. I'm not sure if you have a beverage over there.
But
I would wager that mine is quite different than yours. Oh, Shock Top. I have another Nutribullet smoothie with some spinach, some apple cider vinegar, some Greek yogurt.
Actually, I want berries. Bell's Oberon. That's more closer to you. That would be
Bell's
really
Oberon.
Awesome.
I could certainly go down and pick some up. I'm surprised you can't get it there. It's in most states.
Oh, my gosh. That would be really, really good. Last time I had one was ACB convention. That was fantastic. That, you know, we talked a lot about conventions last week, but that is not what we're going to talk about this week because it's episode 98 and 98 degrees is something we said.
I already used up all those references in last week's show notes.
So
sorry. Yes, we are done with that, which is great. You got a pretty cool interview coming up, though, which is going to take over a bunch of time today.
I am super happy to say that I was able to catch up with Jay Forey, the blind film critic that I have known for many years by listening. Not in person. This was actually my first time to actually have an opportunity to speak with him on a recording. But I'd listened to him for many years on the radio in Houston. And, you know, we've got the big summer film season coming up, and I thought, who better to bring in to talk about what films you should be looking forward to going to see with your family or by yourselves this year?
You know, and with audio description in so many films now, I mean, the movie experience, something that you might not even thought about 4 or 5 years ago, it's quite different now where a lot of theaters have a lot of movies described. So, you know, hey, maybe it's time to get out.
And if not,
and
you could always set it aside, make a list, and then catch them on iTunes with an Apple device. Mm-hmm. Because those are audio described, or wait for them to show up on Netflix, because there's more and more showing up on audio described Netflix every day, including some of those new programs that I see people talking about, because I have such a list of programs right now, I can't catch up. I can't watch anything new. I've got too much on my list so far. There's just too much.
A lot of catching up to do, and of course we have other things as well. Tips, sound off, last word, and Jay has a blog as well, which we'll link to, where he does like weekly movie reviews and things. Very cool stuff. But yeah, lots of catching up and updating, eh?
Absolutely. Updates are abound. Every time you turn around, there seems to be an update. You know, iOS... Okay, we won't do that again. Mm-hmm. Windows had their update not too long ago. But now KNFB Reader, which I think we had heard a little bit about this in San Diego, has a pretty neat update. Mostly if you are a fan of hardware buttons, you can actually do some crazy stuff now. Kind of like what photo apps did for a long time, like Camera Plus and the like. You actually can take a snapshot / scan with the volume up button, or you can get a field of view with the down button. And of course, that works on whether you're using an iPad or an iPhone or an Android phone, because this came to Android as well, or is this just mainly
iOS? Well, I don't think they upgrade. No, I haven't seen, we'll have to double check that, but I have not seen an update to that push to Android, but there's no reason why it wouldn't be coming there, I don't think, technically speaking. So yeah, this works whether you have the volume buttons on your phone. You could do it, for instance, as a cheap plug from our little multimedia remote that we sell, which also is great for reading books and stuff over at AT Guys. That has a volume up and down button.
Sure. You can have that with a stand, put your phone in a stand, and then do it that way.
Press it with a remote. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Now, it works on the main screen only because you'd want to use the volume buttons perhaps to adjust the reading volume once you're there. So it will work on the main take a picture screen, not anywhere else in the app. But I think it's a cool little feature. You know, it should be an option. I think I've already saw one person saying that they want to be able to adjust the volume on that screen. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's a setting. I didn't check that far. Maybe somebody could let us know, because it probably should be. But
a way of taking something that's being done in the mainstream and adding it to an access program. That is pretty sharp, actually. Like I said, there are other camera apps that have been using something very similar for that for a very long time. So I think that's really neat to be able to do that. Now, one of the other things that is rolling around, you might have gotten in the field of view. If you had a HumanWare device, you might have gotten the Victor Reader Stream update. We had talked about this with Greg at CSUN. I know for sure because I did that interview. And some of those features that were in beta at that time seem to have made it to the full release.
Yeah, this is version 4.8. Joe did the first interview with Greg at CSUN, which you can go back and listen to hear all the details. This one's big for the people over in other countries which are more advanced than us and have DAISY Online, which is a really cool online service for kind of automatically downloading books and periodicals and other things. And it's a lot. It's seemingly more advanced than what we have here. I don't know what the limitation is why we don't have it here, but it's definitely caught on a lot more in other countries. That seems to be the biggest thing. Do you remember much else? I think there was like
there's a quick fix of time and date. Some updates
some to Newsline. You're right. Some Newsline bugs and updates are in this version. Of course, it's a free update, so you should always be on the latest anyway, because if you ever have a problem with software, that's the first question they're going to ask you is, are you running the latest version? So definitely get version 4.8. Like, I think there's a time and date sync issue that's better, by the way.
It checks the internet and tries to keep it more from floating off. Because some people might have run into that where the timing issue gets away from the Victor Reader stream. Greg talks about that in the interview. It's pretty interesting of how they found it and how they fixed it. Also, JAWS 18 has seen a minor update. I kind of sort of know this, not very because minor. I was updating JAWS, because I was reading Brian Harchin. He over there at the Harchin consultancy area has an update to Lisi coming up. And he had said that it would work with the new minor update that just came out. That also brings along with it some fixes for Thunderbird. Hey, your favorite email client.
Hey, yeah. Apparently the latest version of Thunderbird 52, there was a little issue where the message list wasn't reading. So that's fixed in the minor updates. The second one in April. Yeah, there was the one a couple weeks ago. A fix to forms mode on the web as well. So this is a very small update, but of course, you know, it's good that they're proactively fixing features as they're coming out, or at least, you know, some of them. So very minor JAWS update. The second one in April, indeed. I think we just talked about one a couple weeks ago. So always good to see another free update.
Sometimes that happens when other free updates get in the way. You know, staying on the Firefox Mozilla front, there was an update to Firefox recently, and not all updates bring good news, unfortunately. The final death knells, and we knew this was going to happen at some point, for the old tool WebVism. Well, you can play taps. It's all over now.
You know, I was just waiting for Patrick to play taps. Really? We don't have a trumpet. I have my trumpet over there. You wouldn't want me to try to do that. Oh, anymore. Yeah, maybe 20, maybe 20 years ago.
Here, I'll do it with an analog synthesizer.
Yes, you know, there was kind of a fix, a band-aid fix, if you will, last week to WebVism, which was, as far as I can tell, the first ever CAPTCHA solver, right? It was a pretty innovative tool for its time. Well, you'd hit the button and it would
Solona,
solve.
But that didn't
Solona, stay. But I think WebVism was first, if I remember right. WebVism was the first one. And it worked for many years, and it was free. James Scholes, who's done a bunch of other cool things, including Codex, has fixed it, or had fixed it last year with a version that worked on Firefox. I think it was 43. But, you know, it's all about security and kind of moving forward. This is a program that was written several years ago. And at some point, Firefox and Mozilla is like, look, we need to kind of, the technical term what we use is called deprecate. In other words, take older features and make them, because they're not as efficient as what we have now. So we need to remove them. And, you know, there was lots of warning given for most of your big add-ons, and they get updated. But if WebVism, the developers really haven't touched that for a few years now, so they don't seem to have a lot of drive to keep it updated. So unfortunately, no more WebVism. In the article that we've posted, we have some other alternatives that you could do. CAPTCHA Be Gone, of course, from Accessible Apps, which is what I use. Yes, it's $3-something a month, but I think it's worth it instead of having to beg around for stuff. Rumola is one that I haven't tried.
Oh,
but
I forgot about that one.
That's the other one you can pay. A few cents. You buy credits, I guess, for that thing. So depending on your browser needs and what you're trying to do for CAPTCHAs, there are other options. I don't know of any other free ones. You can do not stay on Firefox 52, by the way, just to keep this.
No. That is one thing I can absolutely agree. You don't want to stay on an older version of Firefox. They can get exploited really quickly. This is not a matter of convenience and security. This is definitely a matter of security. Firefox is going to actually move even faster. There was an article that came out last week that said they were actually going to get rid of the Aurora channel, and that was the channel in which you could get lots of updates before they were coming. Think of it like canary builds for Chrome, where you're actually getting to play with things and they're actually before they hit the actual shipping version of Firefox.
Like
all
NVIDIA
of that's going to get streamlined down, and so there are going to be more updates coming faster. Windows also, just to stay on the old update scheme here, Microsoft announced that there were going to be two synchronized updates of both Office and Windows going forward. So More than likely, that means this fall when we hit Redstone 3 or the next version of Windows 10, which we don't know what it's called yet. They haven't said anything. Maybe they'll say that on May 2nd at their big event in New York City.
New York City!
Get a rope.
There is the definition of rapid fire in that we're going to see two solid versions of Windows, maybe a major and a minor, along with Office going forward, so 2018 and beyond.
That means no more Windows every 2-3 years. I mean,
And that means, you know, maybe because of consolidation in our industry, that means that there'll be more resources in order to keep up with that, because it does not seem like it's going to slow down. So if you are one of those people out there that are saying, I could just hold on, or I could just move it aside, or I'll stay on Windows 7, that's going to get harder and harder to do as we get closer and closer to 2020. And this is, unfortunately, the new normal.
Yep.
And of course, if you live in a mobile operating system, or if you're a Mac user, you're laughing hysterically because you're used to updating every so often and at least every year with a new version of Mac.
By the way, I looked up the Canopy Reader for Android and last updated in January, but of course doesn't mean that there's new things on the way. You can always tweet at Canopy Reader if that's something you'd like to see on Android. I want to mention something quick before we go into this wonderful interview. I was talking to Liam a few days ago, and he asked me and ended up deciding to upgrade the Sendero PC Maps product, which is one that we sell over at atguys.com. And it's a product I think that gets overlooked a lot. It pretty much lets you virtually explore your surroundings. So you use keyboard keys such as I, J, K, and L to kind of move around the map, whether it's in your city or a city that you're going to travel to. So you can press I and it'll say, now 374 feet forward, Main Street, left and right, or 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So if you ever use it on the Braille Note, it's very similar. So it's a really interesting way. We have a whole bunch of converging streets near my house. I've been trying to figure out how exactly they're laid out. And I pulled up PC Maps and put on the 2017 version. And it really kind of helped me get a better idea of the layout of things. So it's a really cool product. I think it's one that gets overlooked a lot. It is one that we have available over at atguys.com. You can get a demo. Just write us at support@atguys.com. We can hook you up with a 30-day free trial of this. And if you decide you like it, it's $79 for PC Maps. And again, you can explore anywhere in the country, or if you're in other countries, we can get you maps for your region, whether it's Europe or other countries. So again, I think it's one of those tools that gets a bit overlooked, but one that you might want to try out. And hey, you know what? 30-day free trial, so why not? atguys.com, or of course, you can email us at support@atguys.com.
Yeah, a great thing to have in case you don't want to burn up the battery on your phone, or you're sitting in a meeting and they're talking about going somewhere to lunch and you want to follow along, or you just want to have an idea where that is. Like, if I need to Uber home from there, where is there? That way I can figure out how long it's going to be or how much an Uber or a Lyft might be. So definitely, it's always good to have tools and options, as we often say on the show. Well, coming up, we've got an interview, like Jay said, about movies, lots and lots of movies. Then we'll come out of that into a tip. And then last word is going to be right after sound off. All this and more on episode 98 of the Blind Bargains Cast.
Movies are an escape for not just me, but for everyone. That's why we go. I mean, you can escape to the future, the past, any country, wherever. Even different planets, different solar systems. I'm always listening for great dialogue, any type of sound effects, a fire crackling in the background, the wind blowing, the waves hitting up against the ship. And I'm catching all that. Is it a scary film? Is it an action film? Comedy? Everything you can tell by the different sound effects. Everybody thinks that if you can't see, that you have this heightened sense of hearing, that, wow, I can hear like Superman from miles away. No, when you're blind, you're just using your hearing. When I lost my sight, I couldn't see them, but still the experience of going to the movies and listening to a good story is just a lot of fun. The movie does not begin till the sound begins for me.
Hey everyone, we're back in the studio, and I've got an interview this time with someone who I have listened to for many years about films. As you know, I've collected Laserdiscs, and I'm a big movie fan. And in the late 90s, I used to listen to a wonderful station in Houston where this gentleman appeared, and I became a huge fan of him. Welcome to the program, everyone. Jay Fury, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing in the 90s. I can't believe I'm that old. I don't remember doing it that long. Was I 12 years old then, or what?
Nah, it was 90s into late 2000s. No, 90s into early 2000s, because I was still working in Houston when I used to hear you, and I left Houston in 2004. So it was definitely, for both of us, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, if you will take the movie reference there.
and then the funny thing, Joe, is I was doing that time, the Rod Ryan show, and a few minutes, a few years later,
yep,
another show from Houston picked me up, the Atom Smasher show. So I was there for, at least 10 years in Houston. So,
hey,
you picked me here.
It's a big market to be in.
Exactly.
Definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't hear the introduction and you're just coming into the program kind of late, Jay is a blind film critic, if not the blind film critic, in my opinion. And Jay has been doing this for quite some time. You're part of the Critics Association. You get to do all the fun stuff of the press screenings and the like. And just give me an idea rather quickly of how you fell into something like this, Jay.
Yes, I lost my sight 25 years ago or so. And after I lost my sight, my counselor came to me and said, "Jay, you would like to go back to college?" I said, "I guess so." So while I was in college, I did that. While in college, someone asked me, "Jay, do you want to write something for the school newspaper?" And yes, I have a sense of humor, as you know, Joe. And I said, "I'll be the movie critic, and just to be funny." And I wrote some reviews, and people loved it. They laughed at my one-liners. This movie was so bad, if I could have found a door to the theater, I would have left, and stuff like that. And when I finally graduated from college, I went on, and believe it or not, television stations and some newspapers picked up my column, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and you did syndication, like I heard you on radio, and you've done other things. You get to do some of the screenings there. And what kind of preparation do you usually take when looking at going to see a film, or how you approach your reviews? Do you take notes in, or do you just keep it up in your head and then just kind of write it out later?
Well, first of all, I would hope that all critics do this, even though I never really asked anyone. But I, especially since I can't see, like you said, I check things out ahead of time. Who's in it? What's the history? What's maybe some trivia? What years does it take place? That makes a difference. If it's a science fiction, I don't want to mess up with a film that was 300 years ago. In other words, I want to know when I go into the movie what's happening. I don't want to go in blind. No pun intended.
Right. Understood.
So I know what's happening, and then I always go in. I have someone in there that is going to tell me what's happening, and it's a screening, so sometimes I'm there with just five or six other critics, sometimes it's a bunch of people that go to the screens, which I actually like. I like to hear the excitement and the energy of the audience that's in there, so I like that better than a bunch of old fogies, old guys like me in there listening to the movie.
Right. I use the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, a lot to double check something, or maybe I've come out of the film and it's like, I think I remember who that was, and go back and, oh yeah, they were in this movie, and that helps me out a great deal, especially if it's a plot point or something like that, because sometimes there's some intricate plot kind of dissections on IMDb. Now, have you ever come across a movie that you saw in the screening room, or you saw during the preview, and then went, I got to see it again? Has there ever been something that actually went beyond professional curiosity and you just generally liked that film?
Yeah, there are films I generally like, but Joe, you won't believe this, I almost never see a movie a second time.
Really?
Yep. I'm just not one of those, because of the thrill, the excitement, the guessing, the suspense is gone. And even books, I'm an avid reader too. I read one or two books a week, believe it or not. And, Now, I will go see a movie and then read a book, but, you know, the same one. But no, almost never, and not saying that I never have, but as a rule, no, I don't do them a second time. I just try to have it figured out, and it just loses something the second time, in my opinion.
Right.
And that's why I don't.
Okay. So, okay, you mentioned this, so let me reverse that on you. Have you read a great work, or have you read a work, and then they turned it into a movie, and then that kind of gave you that ability to say the book is better than the movie rather than the movie is better than the book? And I'll give you an example for me. I've not read a Harry Potter book. I've seen a lot of the movies, and I've always said that I was going to watch all the Harry Potter movies and then go back and read the book. And I know that that's sacrilege for some people, but I'm doing it the other way around with Game of Thrones, of course.
I've done it both ways, and people have asked me that same question, and by far the best way is to see the movie first and read the book second. And here's why: if you see the movie, they can't put as much in it as a book can. You know, 20 hours of reading, whatever I get. So when I'm doing the book, I go, oh, I see that. And because I'm blind, also, I'm going, oh, I see what they meant here. Oh, this is what that looks like. And yeah, there's usually some changes, but even then, you can fill in the details in a book. And the movies, yeah, you don't fill in the details quite as much, unless it's something visual, and they visually were doing that in a book. It's just verbally it's being read to me.
Right. You know, I feel the same way. I read a lot of Rogue One, the Star Wars story. I read the book and I read the prequel novel before I saw the film. And not just because I'm a big Star Wars fan, that's kind of a given, but it gave me context to the sound of the movie, because, you know, that's a Skywalker sound film. So I had to go to the big IMAX theater, and I had to hear the big noise and the big sound and the vibration of the seats. Let's, get an idea. When you get it to see some of these, do they put you in the number one theater? Do you get the Barco lounger and the leather recliner and the great sound, or is it, they put you in screening room 7, which has like Dixie cup sound, and it kind of takes you out of the picture?
No, I get the best. Yep, you're right. I do get the best. I enjoy that. And that is, that is one of those things that they want us, because, like I said, like you said, I'm a true film critic. And if you ever heard of the Critics' Choice Awards on TV, were the first Critics' Choice Awards show on television. So, yeah, I have to vote for that stuff at the beginning of every year. So they want us to hear the best, and especially if you're blind, you definitely want to hear what's great. Now, here's what happens. Here's sometimes what happens, Joe. I receive tons of movies at the beginning of award season, like in November. So I am, and it's usually not the big blockbusters, Star Wars and, stuff like that. But it's usually, artsy movies that
something more like Moonlight, something that's
exactly
not going to be,
but
right
something like that, so I'm seeing it on my TV at home, so you're not getting, it has good sound, but still I much more enjoy the sound systems in the theaters and stuff.
Right. Okay, now let me ask you the hard-hitting question.
Okay.
On junkets, you get some crazy swag. Do you have any particular movie promotional material that you absolutely adored or loved, or was there any type of movies that you went to, you got the press kit and you're like, what is this? How's this promote the movie?
Joe, are you trying to say they might bribe me to vote for their movies or something?
No. But I am way too intimately familiar with press kits and occasionally what could be inside a press kit. So
that's an inside joke that, yeah, they are bribing us, it seems like. So
sure.
Okay, hey, I have some neat stuff, Joe. You ought to see my office. Right now I have a talking Iron Man sitting up here, couple Transformers. You would just need, I have a bobblehead. I exchange stuff out every year or two. And, yeah, I do receive a lot of stuff. And it is pretty doggone neat. I have an Indiana Jones whip going across one wall, across a couple doors. And and I keep the good stuff up forever. And so good stuff I trade out. And I got some How to Train Your Dragon bobbleheads up there that have been up for about 2 years. So as soon as I get, it seems like I get bobbleheads every couple of years. So I'm expecting maybe next year they'll be traded. It's really neat. People come in just to see my office. I try to keep it neat and not get too cluttered, but yeah, I do receive that stuff, so
right.
to speak. And
well, the reason why I bring up that question is when you see, say, like, let's say the Iron Man figure,
right.
does that meet your expectation or kind of the mental image you had when you saw, you know, Tony Stark flying around, and then you get a chance to feel something like that, which is a physical representation of the character? That does that add a little bit of weight in your mind to the character, or change things about how you approach maybe an idea about plot, or maybe logistically that makes more sense because look, this costume is like this or that.
Yes, it would, except for that thing right there. I could see, and it was Iron Man comic books 40 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So you had
a vision. Like. Yep.
Right. In the gold and red armor and all that.
Exactly right. Right. Yep. So, but yeah,
and those wonderful early 70s and 60s Marvel cartoons, don't forget.
You know, exactly right.
Yep. Where one cell moved across the screen and we considered that animation and we were happy to get it.
You're exactly right.
That was the day. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. One thing I do miss, Joe, I would love to see. I've been blind for 25, 30 years. I would love to see the animation nowadays. You know, they say it is so far right. above oh, yeah. than what it was, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, every decade it gets so much better. So I would like sure. to see that. For example, we mentioned Transformers a little bit ago. I saw Transformers uh-huh. with my son in the 80s, and I probably wouldn't even recognize other animation looks like nowadays.
I'm geeky enough to admit that I saw Transformers, the movie, in the theater back in the 80s.
Get ready.
Yeah, they do not stop. They just simply do not stop. They are quite much like the Terminator. So to circle back to the notes thing, you keep all that up there, and then you come home and you type on a Windows computer with a screen reader, and that's how you do your reviews, correct?
Exactly right. Yeah, I don't take notes, which I could. I'll take a tape player along in the car, so I'm just a quick do it. But as a rule, no. And I come home, like you said, and I have a couple computers home. I have JAWS as a program I use, and I've used JAWS. And it was in the 90s, I think, is when I first got my computer and JAWS. So it was, and that's what I do. I take that down, and I go forward. You mentioned IMDb. You can find me on IMDb. I put some of my external reviews on there. You'll see my name up there a lot of times.
Hey, that is awesome. You can follow Jay on that just like you could on Twitter or Facebook, which is super cool. That way you can see what films that he's seen. Now, we've mentioned films. There are a lot of films that are coming up this year that we have to look forward to. In fact, a trailer for one that just dropped before we did the recording, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. In fact, the mixtape tracks have been released by James Gunn. He just released the list. So this is a film that you're looking forward to. I am too. I have to admit, the first Guardians caught me by surprise. I wasn't completely familiar with the characters. I knew of them. I knew what they were. I knew the history. But I hadn't really read the comics or followed along with the comics. So when I went into this trepidatiously and then just came out a huge fan and love Brian Tyler's score on this particular film. What attracts you about this new upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy? I mean, it's a sequel, right? Second sequels are usually bad.
Yeah, you know, right. That's what attracts me. It's more of the same. And if it's more of the same, it ought to be good. I mean, they have everybody great in there. They got, you know, Bradley Cooper, Chris Pratt. I mean, they just have tons of stars are going to be in it. This is actually, believe it or not, Marvel, related to Marvel Comics, and I don't know who they are yet, but there's supposed to be some Marvel superheroes show up in here. So yeah. We will see. That was, once again, Marvel Comics. Guardians of the Galaxy must have came out in the past 30 years or so, because I did never see it as a comic book reader when I was a kid. So just looks like they're always tons of fun.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are big Avengers fans, you'll definitely want to see this because, as you know, the cinematic universe, one film directly impacts the other film, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things towards Thor Ragnarok later this year. Now, another sequel is Alien Covenant, and that might not sound like a sequel per se, but it is kind of a follow-up to Prometheus, both directed by Ridley Scott. What has you excited about this one, which opens not too far away from Guardians?
Well, here's the great thing. You know, when I get old movies, you know, like that, I could see back then, I know what the alien looked like. Now, that really puts a visual in my mind. So if the alien shows up, which I don't know yet, I have a screening coming up, actually popped up on my computer just this morning. My screenings is only in like a week or two. I usually get them a week or two ahead of time. So I'll be seeing the alien. And the story is supposed to be also pretty good and kind of like where the alien comes from here.
Yeah, Ridley Scott seems to be like reminiscing between, you know, a sequel to Blade Runner, revisiting the Alien franchise. It's really an interesting time for a guy who seemed to want to distance himself from science fiction. He has really rolled back into it, which is fascinating to me. I'll tell you something else that's fascinating to me. Jay has on his list here Baywatch. Now, I can understand why some people might visually wish to see Baywatch because, well, you know, people running around in bathing suits and the like. This film has been in what's called development hell for a long time. It was supposed to be a spoof. It was supposed to be this. It was like Chips, which came out earlier this year, where there was going to be a lot of kind of wink and nod to previous franchises, David Hasselhoff not included. What has you excited about the Baywatch movie? Because I'm fascinated to see how this made the list.
Now, this is not, let me rephrase it. This is not my list of films that I'm looking forward to.
No,
that's right. Movies I'm keeping an eye on.
Correct.
I've seen this, and kind of like what you just mentioned, we've been talking about this for 3 or 4 years. So this is one, yes, it may not be a good rating, just like my Chips. You know, I think I gave that like a D or D plus. You know, it was just, you know, absolutely horrendous, but it was so raunchy and crude. That was one reason that dropped it way down. But this here, I don't know.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has done comedies before.
Right. And I think he does great.
Yeah, he does. He did a particular one with Sean William Scott, which I thought was pretty good. The Get Down, or what was it? That Breakdown, Shakedown, one of those down movies. Actually, he's done comedy fairly decently. I'm curious though, because usually what ends up happening with The Rock is he does something like Fast and the Furious, which makes him like $1 billion box office star. And then he has like a film that comes out right after it, like the drama one
that's
he did.
True.
And it just goes nowhere. And so there's always that debate back and forth on whether Dwayne is a box office draw or not. That's interesting.
Hey Joe, I don't see this movie. I don't expect it to be good, real good. And I don't expect it to go real far. But that don't mean I'm not anxious to see what happens with it. And sometimes that's just, it's been around for years. Years ago, I actually did another television show to tell the truth or something like that back in early 2000. And I was on there with one of the Baywatch babes. And no, it wasn't a Pamela.
Freudian. That was a beautiful Freudian slip. I enjoyed that. That was great. Yeah, no, good.
And she was on there, and I talked to her afterwards, and I'm drawing a blank on her name. It's been 15, 16 years ago. But anyway, it was a heck of a lot of fun. Yeah, in my life.
The only one anyone ever remembers is Pamela, so you're fine.
Exactly.
I'd actually have to line up IMDb now. Now, this is inappropriately timed, but another film that's coming up this summer is Wonder Woman. And so, for those who are not fans of the DC Cinematic Universe, the rival to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you might or may not have seen Man of Steel, or what our 14-year-old in the house calls Batman versus Superman Yawn of Justice, because I made him sit through the 3-hour edition of that film. One of the only great things about that was Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. She was just her voice, her diction, just the way that she approached that character, might be the best realization of Wonder Woman, ignoring Linda Carter and Kathy Lee Crosby, that we've seen in years. So, and I love the music theme for that. That her theme is awesome. So Jay and I talked actually about this film before the interview, and I'm really looking forward to this because of the soundtrack, because it's supposed to evolve over time, like as the character grows. We also have Chris, I am Captain Kirk in the new movies Pine, here as a co-star. What do you think? Not many people will have an idea of who Wonder Woman is if they're younger. If they're older, then, like my father, they're remembering the 1970s Wonder Woman. Do you think this is a franchise? This will fix the DCU? This will be something that will resonate with people?
I really do. I was looking forward to it, and they've been looking forward to this for years. They couldn't fight to find the right person. It was just been a number of things. I think when she came in to Batman, that seemed to... Yeah, she came in at the end, one more or less, at the end of the movie, Batman vs. Superman, and she just really made it kind of exciting here at the end. And I liked when she popped into the movie, and I'm looking forward to it. Gail Gaddis, you know, she's
awesome.
From Fast and the Furious, the franchise, and so she wasn't in the last one, along with Paul Walker. The two people were not in the last one. One passed away, and one moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, they went and got Michelle Rodriguez back. Yeah,
exactly. Yep, exactly right. Yep. So I'm really expecting a lot from this movie. I really do. I think it's going to be one of the biggest ones of the summer. We'll see. Now, here's something funny, Joe. You'll have to. Some of us insiders have heard that some people are actually complaining that, and you may have read it. It's not that like it's an inside, but some people complain this is so ridiculous. I'm almost embarrassed to tell this, but I've mentioned it before. Some people were complaining because, yes, Wonder Woman's from the Amazon. She grew up in the Amazon. She grew up where there's woods. And so Wonder Woman should have hair under her arms when she's out there lifting up cars.
Oh, yes, I did hear about that. The actually computer generated out the hair because the director felt that way. And then some people thought it wouldn't play well. And I saw those articles like the removal of hair didn't really gain prominence until 1920. And I was like, what? Why?
As if there's nothing.
My secret thought is that they couldn't make hair under her arms at the toy factory. That's my thought is that. They just couldn't.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yep, they were having problems with the dolls, and, you know, we got to sell the figures, so that definitely. June 2nd is a good release window, though, because you're getting people right after the holiday weekend, right as, you know, summer starts, it starts getting warm, people flock to the theaters. That's actually a lot better than being near what I call the slot of death, which is around my birthday at the end of the month, because several films I've loved over the years have appeared on that weekend and died utterly. Coneheads, Judge Dredd, The Shadow. I would go see them for my birthday, and then that was like the kiss of death. Might as well just gone. Cars 3, a third film in the Pixar franchise. Really interesting that this is near another Disney film, because Disney is actually starting to move to a position of doing just tentpole movies. They find that just doing event films is great for marketing, you know. So for this year, that would be a big movies like Guardians, Cars, Thor, or the new Star Wars episode 9 coming. No, 8. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. Episode 8, The Last Jedi, coming out in December. So a lot is kind of sort of banking on Cars here, because they've actually had one or two clunkers, not to stretch the metaphor here with Cars.
You know, that actually surprised me that they're doing a third one. Because, personally, I like the Cars films, but they, I not loved them. I didn't think they were award winners or anything like that. I love Larry the Cable Guy as Tater the Tow Truck. So, But besides that, I like the French. They did one kind of a takeoff called Planes. So this is really in a roundabout way about the fourth one. And I was actually surprised they did it, but the kids love it. And as you well mentioned, yes, they sell a lot of cars and toys and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Does that mean that in Cars 4, he becomes a hybrid? I mean, we got to keep up with the times, right? So
this is probably.
That's probably where that goes. Later in the month, as we get closer, we have a movie called Rough Night. Now, oddly enough, I'm not familiar with this one. What's the story on Rough Night? Opens June 16th, and it's a comedy.
Yes, here's what I'm looking for. Scarlett Johansson, Demi Moore. It's a hangover for women is basically what it is.
Oh, so we're going to go after the bridesmaids kind of audience. Okay.
Exactly right. But somehow this turns a little dark. They're there for, I think it's Miami for a bridesmaid type thing, and a stripper gets killed. So it kind of gets kind of dark. Yeah, dark in the end. I'm not quite sure how dark it gets, but...
But that's a setup.
We'll see. It looks pretty good anyway.
Yeah, that kind of has kind of like those Jeff Goldblum comedies of the 80s where it takes a left turn, you know, where you start off and then go in a different way. Kate McKinnon, man, if this movie doesn't do well for her, especially coming off of Ghostbusters 2016, she might be stuck in television land. That is never a good thing. Spider-Man Homecoming. So here's another one of those where you would think it's a Disney film, but no, this is not. This is Sony. They reached an agreement with the great House of Marvel to allow Spider-Man to come over to Captain America 3 Civil War. Marvel would work with Sony to write the Spider-Man franchise, and that's where we have our new Spider-Man in his own movie, and he is phenomenal. I think he was one of the things about Civil War that I really enjoyed, which is also available if you hadn't seen some of these Marvel films. A lot of them are audio described, so if you have not gone to the theater, you can actually purchase a lot of them with audio description. Civil War is actually available on Netflix with audio description, but I am looking forward to this particular film, if anything, because Robert Downey Jr. is just so mesmerizing as Tony Stark.
He's like, in this film, he's... like the mentor of the new Spider-Man. He's a teenager as a kid. Like, he's 16 years old or 17. He's still in high school. So he wants to be the new Spider-Man, but he wants to be, well, I guess he's new to everybody at the time. But
yeah,
The
reboot Spider-Man, right.
The rebooted Spider-Man four times.
That's correct.
And he was absolutely fantastic. He was one of my favorite actors and favorite parts of Civil War. I mean, he's really excited and, do this? Can I do that? And he was great as Spider-Man. I'm anxious to see more of the same in this film. And I think it's going to be really good. Maybe one of the best Spider-Man, sequels or prequels or whatever we're going to see here. I'm really anxious to see what happens here.
I am really curious because his comic timing seems to be really good, and that is so essential to that character. It's going to be very interesting to see. Going to be a big budget epic, got a great score. It's going to have a bunch of stuff there. It's a week after the Slot of Death, so it should do fine. Not that I didn't think it was going to make money, but it gets away from that. A franchise I didn't expect to be huge is the Planet of the Apes franchise. Certainly I knew the Marky Mark Wahlberg version with Tim Burton. Now there is another version that Fox brought back from the precipice, and I am actually, for the first time, kind of curious about War for the Planet of the Apes, kind of getting towards the middle of July. This is usually when some would say that films that the studios are not necessarily feeling super strong about don't always come out in the middle or late to July, but this year seems to be a little different. How do you feel about the Apes franchise? Do you think this is getting played out, or do you think this is really going to be a film to see?
No, I absolutely love them. It's some of the best, and this is considered a drama, not just action science fiction. It has drama. The acting, the emotion is so great. This is not like the old Planet of the Apes where it's just a bunch of people in masking around. They actually do a great job. You mentioned the music. In these films, the music is absolutely fantastic. In these Planet of the Apes, this is the third one, and it was so good how they started out. They brought the story along, and the third one, now the Earth is just covered with woods and stuff like it. Started out just the Earthlings by themselves, and then all of a sudden the planet's become smarter, and, And so it is absolutely a fantastic. Check this out. Woody Harrelson is in this for the first time.
Who ever thought that was going to be a name you would see at the top of a film since Natural Born Killers, right? I mean, we go way back, but
exactly.
Wow, that is super trippy. Yeah, that is going to be really neat. Andy Serkis doing the CGI kind of thing. You might know him as the voice of Gollum or Schmeagle. So he's back doing that kind of thing that he loves to do so much. I couldn't think of anybody better to do that, actually. So yeah, that is going to be very interesting. I don't know how far they could go with this, because supposedly, if the rumors are true, they're actually running into the timeline of the Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes, and that there are some quote-unquote direct tie-ins. So this is going to be very interesting moving forward on where Fox chooses to go with this particular franchise.
You know what?
Uh-huh.
It all comes to how much money it's making.
And not just in the theater, but on home video. You're right.
Exactly.
Christopher Nolan. Now, funny, you say money, right? War right. film, late summer. That's not screaming money to me, but that's where they put Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, which did not get a rated R. It actually got a PG-13 is what I read in one of the trades. And I think that's interesting, but I'm still a big fan of this director, Inception, Dark Knight. What did it for me for Chris is that he had mentioned that he liked the original Blade Runner before, you know, Ridley Scott came out with his direction, final cut, whatever version of Blade Runner that they release every 5 years with new stuff that they just seem to keep finding. But he believed in the original 80s version with the Sam Spade-like narration was his favorite. And I kind of agreed with him. It was one of the few times where I believe the studio was right and the director was wrong. So I've always gone into his films with excitement, but I'm not sure where we go here. It's another World War epic. What do you think? He's all about characters. Is this a film that, well, it's not a date film, that's for sure, but what do you think about this particular film?
I don't think this, when I was looking at the type of film, this is not, which surprised me, considered a war film. It's,
yeah.
I think it's a drama, action, thriller, something like that. I didn't see war, so I'm not thinking tanks and bombs and people can get, I think it's going to be, yeah, there's going to be, of course, there's going to be some shooting and stuff like that, but and some killing, but I don't think it's going to be a war. And the whole thing is, it takes place kind of before the war really starts, and a bunch of soldiers just kind of surrounded by the German soldiers. So it's not, there's fighting going on, but I don't think it's any really big battles or anything. Yeah, well, some point there is, but I think it's going to be a lot of drama. I think it's going to be a good film. I'm really excited to see this film.
The one over the 14-year-old, he saw the preview for it when we went to go see Logan, and he doesn't have the baggage of seeing lots of films like I do. And so he was actually kind of interested, and he recognized some of the people from the movie, like Tom Hardy and the like. So there was a lot of interest on his part, which I didn't expect. I really didn't. So visually it kind of caught his eye. And so I think that's interesting that it could maybe pull in a younger audience.
And he'll learn some history too. Kind of how World War II started there.
I will not say that, or I will never get him in the theater. Yeah, no. That would not happen. That's actually not a selling point, actually. The Hitman's Bodyguard. This is a film I'm unfamiliar with. Opens August 18th. And it is towards the end, the dog days of summer, if you will. Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson. Oh, gosh, there must be yelling. There is going to be a film with Ryan Reynolds where he is not wearing the Deadpool mask. And we'll see how that works out for him as well, because he's riding a definite high and is being able to call the shots since the number one rated R almost ever Deadpool is making so much money. Where do you feel this lands on the ladder? August 19th, 18th, that's not a stellar weekend. Although he didn't get September, which is usually the garbage dump of Hollywood, is September.
Yep, you're right. September and October, that's where they dump all the films that they don't want. They don't expect to. Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure where they're going. Here's why I picked that one.
Okay.
Two big names in it.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, Samuel Jackson. Yeah.
Selma Hayek's no slouch either, but
it's kind of funny. One of them's a bodyguard, and one's a hitman, and one has to protect the other. And I know there's going to be some comedy, some action. You know, I'm interested in it. It could go bad. It could be quite interesting. We'll just have to see. And sometimes, I'm like, I threw that in there because I like the names, I like the characters.
No, I like it too. And you'll see something like, I'll give you a perfect example where you never know what you're going to get, right? You might get a RoboCop remake where Samuel is used kind of sparingly and for effect. Or you'll get something like Long Kiss Goodnight, which is one of my favorite Rennie Harlan movies. Well, one of the few successful Rennie Harlan movies, but that's neither here nor there. So you get something very strange, and positioning does matter. In fact, if this had gone later, and I jokingly said the garbage dump, if it had gone into October, then I just would have turned on you, Jay, and said, no, it's for award consideration. You know, these are Oscar months now. We believe that Samuel Jackson has a great shot at being a great, you know, actor in a supporting role. That's why we released it in October. It makes perfect sense.
Exactly. No. Yep. Here's the thing, and we're talking about it now, and I think I kind of think Hollywood's making a change here. Yes, we got this in August, but even October, November, or September, and October, the dumping grounds.
Yeah.
Also, usually so is February and March. But look this year, we had Kong that did good, we had Logan that did good, and not bad movies. So,
Deadpool.
I'm surprised. Those are two movies that could have been during the summer, possibly.
Deadpool may have been the thing that kind of changed that. And we had that happen, too, where people used to think March was the dead ground, and then The Matrix changed that way back in 1999. So we go through even kind of ups and downs as far as cinemas are concerned. Now, I'm going to ask you about a couple of films, and you and I spoke earlier, but I haven't had a chance to touch base with you on a couple of films that are probably hitting home video really soon. What did you think of Get Out? That seems to be a 2017 hit, and no one really saw that coming from the guys, Jordan Peele, who's now up for some amazing directorships because of the success of that film.
Well, believe it or not, that's one I didn't see.
Oh, no. Are you interested now in that film? Because it got a lot of crazy buzz.
Yeah. No, I have it here. It's one of those that they sent me, and you just can't see too many. I have 50 movies here or more just for this
year. Right. You get a chance to see, what, 3-4 sometimes a week in this part of the year because it's so busy.
Well, yeah, what I do is usually I usually see about probably two movies a week. Yeah. I don't see them all. Then in the award season, I try to get one of the ones they send me, and I try to pick up those. And still, like I said, even then, they're sending me 50, 60 movies. And so and most of the movies there are movies you've never heard of. I got movies here, I go, what is that? You know, yeah, I've heard of Get Out, but I just didn't. Here's the thing. It's one of those movies, it wasn't going to win an award. And it was past the time when I'm going to talk about it. So it's on the back burner when I have nothing to do. Or now that you mentioned it, dummy.
Now that I've mentioned it, it's on your list. Well, I know you had to move that out of the way for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yes, well, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. Oh, my word. That's another one I didn't see. Thank you.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Jay has standards. Joe does not. I think we've established that.
And I don't have all the time in the world either.
Well, did you ever see any of the films that represent blindness, like last year's horror thriller Don't Breathe? Did you see that?
Yeah, and some of these, I did. It didn't do anything for me, and here's why. The bad thing is I'm critical. You know, this blind guy didn't act like this, or they didn't do that, or. It's, like back when Scent of Woman came out. I'm going, this stuff does not happen.
it's called fiction, ladies and gentlemen.
Nobody drives their car 60 miles an hour down the road. Anyway, so I'm too critical. So that don't mean I don't watch them, but,
Sure.
It's very tough.
Some familiarity with what they're trying to present can sometimes break the illusion. No, I'm with you. I did that when I saw Daredevil in the theater, not on Netflix, but in the theater when he was in front of, you know, there's Ben in front of a computer and I'm like, oh, that's a Juliet and Bosser over there. Oh yeah, I'm watching a movie. Right. Oh, look, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
well, exactly then, of course, when Daredevil came out, I had to get some red tights and my wife wasn't happy about that.
Hey, it worked out for Ben. He met his future wife or ex-wife out of it. So, I mean, exactly. It's all good. Totally, totally good. Yeah, I wanted to have you on to talk about movies before the summer, Jay, if you're willing and up for it. Let's meet again and kind of do a post-mortem, kind of, let's say, the September, and kind of go over some of these picks, because I'd love to see how they did, where they did, see if we were both correct or incorrect about some of these picks here. And maybe there was something that didn't make the list. If you guys have films that you're aware of that you think are films we should put on our movie slates, please go ahead and write us feedback@blindbargains.com. That's feedback@blindbargains.com. Jay, where can people keep up with you? We mentioned IMDb, and I'll put that link in the show notes. Where else can people find you?
Yes, go to my website, blindsidereviews.com. That's blindsidereviews.com. And there's from there, you go to my Facebook page. I'm usually throwing different pictures up there when I go to screenings and stuff. There's some pictures are way back, but yeah, I have some pictures with some superheroes and other kinds of great stuff. And also, if you're there, you have to take a good look at my clip when I was on Jimmy Kimmel several years ago. And that's on my website and my Facebook page. So yeah, I stay busy, and that's the best place to find me.
Jay, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you on. You've brought me so many hours of entertainment over the years. It's a pleasure to be able to interview. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to sit down and chat with us.
Well, and I love talking to somebody like you that knows a lot about movies and sound and everything else that goes along with great cinema, especially during the summer when it's so big.
Well, I liked being able to say that mom said I wouldn't make any money liking video games and movies, and I've been able to turn both of those hobbies into some form of income. Not great, but still, it pays the bills and allows me to do more. So it just kind of works out. And it's always been a thrill and a love of mine to get paid to sit in a room and be entertained and have lots of popcorn at your disposal. Yeah, sign me up. I'm there.
And I think you mentioned and have fun also. Yeah. People said to me, you actually get paid for this? Well, yeah, a little.
Thank you so much for your time, Jay. I appreciate it. And we'll have you back on real soon. We'll talk about more movies.
Sounds great, Joe. Talk later.
One of the single most often given questions to me on the Twitterverse is, how can I get Google Home or Google Chromecast to do blank? So I'm going to give you one or two tips here about Google Chromecast and Google Home. One of them is definitely phrasing. You have to play with your phrasing a little bit, just like you heard a couple of episodes back where JJ and I were trying to do money conversion and it didn't work out kind of the way we wanted it to. Let's try this for instance, okay? Hey, Google, play Final Fantasy 15 from YouTube.
I also need to know which device to use. Try saying that again and include the device's name.
So, as you heard, she wasn't really crazy about that. I happen to know how to do this, but I'm going to do it wrongly for the first time, okay? Hey, Google. Play Final Fantasy 15 Stand Your Ground from YouTube.
Okay, playing Final Fantasy XVIII Stand Your Ground Extended on YouTube.
Hey, Google, stop casting. So I would play around with that. I would say maybe the trigger word and then play from YouTube Final Fantasy 15 Stand Your Ground, and then it would probably go and find it. I may even have to, because I have multiple Chromecast devices in the house, have to say Windy, because that's the name of my Google Home. So I would say, you know, trigger word, play from YouTube Final Fantasy 15 on Windy if I was having some problems. Here's another example. We're going to come over here near my Google audio, which is called Mabel, and we're going to say, hey, Google, play Depeche Mode Music from the Masses on Mabel.
Okay, Music for the Masses from Google Play Music, playing on Mabel.
Hey, Google, stop casting on Mabel. Knowing where you want to send something makes a lot of difference when you choose where you want media to play. Now, if you only have a Google Home, then it's going to play on Google Home. It won't really recognize that there's any other devices, and it won't know what to do other than, hey, I'm not sure that that phrasing works for me, because even when there's just one single Google Home on the network and I ask get to play something from YouTube, it might see it as a video and it's trying to play audio. So you have to kind of sort of play with the phrasing, and then all of a sudden it seems to get it. Or you can use the YouTube audio app, and that will make life a little easier too, because then you can actually go into the app and cast to that Google Home, or it'll pull from the Google YouTube audio app and get stuff from that directly. It can sometimes be kind of a critical thing on where you want it to go and how. Now, lastly, I want to demonstrate that I have Netflix hooked up to my Google Home, and I can actually cast to my video device over here, Chromecast videos. I forget all the names of the devices as I look at them. Hey, Google, play from Netflix Captain America Civil War on Dipper.
Okay, Captain America Civil War from Netflix, playing on Dipper.
Now, I'm coming over here to my television, which just came on because it's in standby mode. It's turned it on. Netflix is now up, and it is loading the spot of the movie where I was. Now, this could be super helpful. Hey, Google, fast forward Dipper 10 minutes. And that's fast forwarding.
You are the others. And quite as it's kept, the challenges facing you are the greatest mankind's ever known.
Let's say the phone rings. Hey, Google. Pause, Dipper. And there, it stopped. I can restart it. I can keep things going. I can rewind. As you heard, audio description wasn't necessarily there. There seems to be a bug going on with multiple accounts and audio description again, especially if initiated from Google Home. David Leposky actually noticed this first, and I'm now able to confirm it. But it does work. I have gotten it to work before, especially if there's only like one profile and one Google Home and one Google video thingy. We're running into weird use cases here because we have two Google Homes, one under Ricky and one under myself, just to try and trick them or see what happens if you have multiple accounts now logging in. In the show notes, I'll have a link to the brand new, just announced way to do step-by-step recipes, and I'll do a demo of that later on another Blind Bargains cast. But for the moment, head to the show notes to be able to read how to do that, because I don't have the update yet and I really want to. But in this link, you'll be able to see how you can do step-by-step instructions and still have use of your Google Play. You can still do music, set timers, and what have you. It's one of the really neat new updates that just came to Google Home.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com. Or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Hey, welcome back to Podcast 98 and the tips. What was that tip? I don't know.
It's fascinating.
It was fascinating, and it was recorded at a different time.
It was amazingly recorded after this particular session, so I'm sure
the space
it was
time continuum
wonderful.
Is really interesting with recorded content.
Absolutely.
Hey, Pat Hornell, so we talked last week about 97 at the beginning of the show. We were kind of struggling as the numbers get higher to come up with references. Pat has one for us, a song. Let's roll a few seconds of the original from 1924.
Going down grade, making 90 mile an hour, when his whistle broke into a scream. He was found in the wreck with his hand on the throttle and a skull dead to death with a seam. Now, ladies, you must take warning from this time now and on. Never speak hard words to your true love and husbands. He may leave you and never return.
Again, 1924. This is the wreck of the old 90s set. Why did you not think of this?
But I didn't know the song, and I didn't know who made it, and then... Yeah, wow.
I mean, okay, first of all, the song is 93 years old.
Actually, it was written in 1903.
Sure.
So,
I mean, you hum those all the time, right? You know, no. I like I said, I'd heard it as a phrase, I'd heard it as a story, and I knew there was a song. I just didn't know anything about the song or had not heard that song until you just played it.
Vernon Dahlhart, or Dahlhart, I guess is how you say the guy's name.
Yeah, and then we were talking before the show about this particular song, and I said to Jay, you know what it sounds like? It sounds a lot like this.
Listen while I tell you a story old and true. Casey McPhee, the engineer, got this train through. He faced the toughest duty an engineer could do. But he was brave and unafraid, and he got this train through. Through, 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 he got the train through. Through, through, through,
he got the train, through.
That being Sesame Street's Cookie Monster singing there. And talking about eating snow and let's get this train through. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But that's one of the things I thought of, because when you start talking about train songs, well,
right. You
know, my mind, maybe no one else's, jumps to Cookie Monster and Sesame Street. I was a product of the Children's Television Workshop.
Well, and until I looked it up today, my mind assumed, you know, I replied, and my mind assumed boats. When you think wreck, you think shipwreck. At least I do. And I was thinking Gordon Lightfoot and things like that.
Oh, yeah, because of your area up there.
Right. This is a train wreck because they were trying to meet the schedule, and so the guy decided to go as fast as he could, which was too fast, and that's what happened there. But thanks, Pat, for pointing that out to you.
Moral story for everyone to pay attention to. It... green off the rails, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of off the rails, what's this? A podcast recommendation?
Recommendation from Gordon Love. He actually sent this in way back around April 1st. Nothing was going on around that time. But he had recommended another one of these podcasts about space and all the wonderful things from
the
weekly today.
Space hangout.
Yep.
So if you're into that sort of thing, you know, there's lots of so many different podcasts for the geekiest stuff to just the most absurd stuff. And it's all, you know, lots of different things out there. So definitely. And they say, you know, most people are listening to, say, 3, 4, 5 podcasts a week. I listen to a lot of sports ones. I listen to the Tony Kornheiser show. I listen to Baseball Tonight. Maybe we'll have to start a little thing on podcast recommendations that are not the blindness ones, because I'm sure some of you had some great ideas.
Step outside your comfort zone. Buddy Brannon will love this. He is the biggest space nut. He was one of the first people that showed me the talking stuff from NASA and other things. So that is fantastic. And just because you send in an email and you don't get a response from us right away, it doesn't mean it's not sitting there waiting to be answered or being used in this particular segment right here. The same thing can be said about the last word. Sometimes they're sitting in a notepad waiting for me to come and find them. Other times they come out of nowhere and I least expect something like this to happen because, well, Jay, you know how we have music or cats.
Yeah, you tweeted a music thing 3 or 4 days ago that I thought for sure was going to be the make it in. And it did not.
Food beat cats and music this week. And there just so happens to be a fantastic mashup that nobody really wanted. Take your croissant, take a tortilla, or a tortilla, some people might say.
Tortilla.
Combine them together and you will get a crotilla or a crotilla.
This is that disturbing. Might be the worst name mashup since Subway's Flatiza.
Oh, well, and this is on top of Cronut. So I was jokingly saying to Ricky, wow, I wonder what you could do with this. And then we both at the same time realized the Burger King Whopperito would unfortunately be something you could do either as a breakfast item or later in the day with a Whopper. Now, I say this because she and I actually did eat a Whopperito once. Not a thing I want to reproduce or go through again. It was not necessarily a great idea. Well, sometimes you can mix and match these things and they turn out fantastic. Other times they turn into the crotilla.
So are you going to, but have you had this yet? You haven't eaten
it. No, I don't think.
Don't talk bad about it until you've tried it. Don't knock it, you know.
Okay. All right.
That's what I've been learning with these with these smoothies, you know. Sometimes it's the weirdest flavors. You put them together and
yeah, spinach kale, man.
Exactly. And you know, and you find out that it's really, oh my gosh, you know, you got chocolate in my peanut butter. You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
There's a classic. There is
classic,
a
classic.
Absolutely. Classic. Now, you say that, and I recently had the Reese's Pieces in a Reese's peanut butter cup. Did you know about this?
No. Oh, no, you know, Reese's peanut butter crunchier, right?
Actual Reese's Pieces inside. I've heard of
it. Yeah, you're right. Now that it makes it crunchier, right?
Yeah, it overpowers one versus the other, and you find yourself wanting one or the other more than the both together, I find.
I'm a fan of the big cup.
Yeah, the big cup is great, especially if you're on a road trip with somebody and you stop in at, you know, one of the big gas and gulp kind of things at Love's or something like that, Flying J, and which are, I think, the same thing now. And you go in and you grab either that king size sleeve of Reese's peanut butter cups or you get the big cups. And
if you get the big cup, you're less obligated to share.
Chunkies are awesome. Oh my God, Chunkies are so good.
No, they apparently didn't make it around here.
It really depends on how you feel about chocolate and raisins. If you don't like raisins and chocolate.
Oh, I love Raisinettes. So Chunkies. I guess it'd be the same.
Oh, Raisinettes are good. Oh, those are good. Snow Caps. See, it was the movies. We talked about the movies, Junior Mints. It's all there.
I have no segue for this.
Do you not?
No.
Since I don't know what it is, this is going to be interesting. All right.
I have no segue for this, except for, you know, sometimes it's, well, okay, we'll do it this way. Sometimes it's accidents that actually work out for the good.
Mashup gone right, like you said.
Mashup gone right. Cheryl Wassis over Monroe, Michigan, actually, works for a nonprofit called Pets for Vets. Very cool thing and kind of, you know, helping veterans out, you know, looking for promotional opportunities and ideas. So let me get the name of what she happened upon Motor City Furry Con.
Okay.
So for those who are not familiar, this is not a dog convention. This is a convention of people dressing up like animals. It's not necessarily dirty. I mean, it can be a lot of different forms, but it's a convention.
No.
Right. It's a role play convention of sorts.
Sure. Live action role playing.
It's live action. Mark. You know, so she came there with her her dog Link. Was quite confused at first. Apparently, they
welcome gigantic people that are much bigger than him. Looks somewhat like him.
her son, who I'm sure was laughing his butt off, was tweeting off things during the weekend. But apparently, it worked out. She ended up giving a presentation and raised $10,000.
Wow.
By accidentally ending up at a... So, you know, sometimes it's not where you look, but it's...
They are fans of animals, so that actually seems like odd but creative marketing.
Well, no, they invited her.
Sure.
Somehow she ended up on the agenda. So, like, it was planned that she was on the agenda, and I think they realized what was going on. But if you don't have a
14-year-old in your house, it's hard to know what are the current internet memes or terms of memes. So I can understand how if you're not plugged into that scene, that might actually be a bit of a surprise. Now, I say that when I knew somebody who dressed up in a Star Trek uniform and went to the Texas Renaissance Fair because they could pretend that they were going to a backwards planet on an away team. I had a cousin who was part of the Society for Creative Anachronism and had a wedding in a old New Orleans abbey. So that way everybody was in costume in order to be a part of the Baron's wedding.
Never done a
wedding.
Theme wedding.
Yeah. So I may be all too familiar with some of these things, not everything. Some of these things.
And sometimes it's just how it's written. You know, I'm looking for a group, and I ended up finding one around here for Python user group. Well, on Meetup. On Meetup, there's a group called Kalamazoo Pug Love. No. No. On Kalamazoo, there is a group called Kalamazoo Pug Lovers.
Oh. The little dogs?
Little dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
P-U-G. And luckily, I figured that out before I actually went to the meeting. It was partly tipped off. There was like 164.
Where did all these dogs come from? Do you guys like computers?
Do you program the... What do you program the dogs to do?
That is fascinating.
I mean, there's like 165 members. Like, that can't be the Python group. There's no way it's that big here.
No, that's even scarier. 165 pugs in one area. That would, oh my God. Asthmatic hounds. That was just, ooh, oh my gosh. That's actually kind of scary. My boss, when I was in Division for Blind Services, was always really good at putting together amazing presentations. And she came in my office one day and said, Joe, I want you to go on the internet and help me find something. And I was like, sure. What are we looking for? She goes, we need to find, put in search terms, blindfold Barbie. And I was like, mm-hmm. No, stop. Let me stop you right there. No, that's nothing but hurt and nothing but IT is going to come down. We're going to get like, no. Let me, if you want to search for that at home, then I suggest you do that.
It might be a different way to word that.
There are just some things you think innocently, but yep. On the internet, if you didn't know by now, you put two terms together, you get chocolate you get and some peanut butter, or peanut butter and chocolate. Definitely.
Hey, thanks for listening to our words. We do appreciate it. Thanks so much to Jay for coming on. Really cool interview there, talking about films and such. Go check out his blog. We've linked to that along with all the news stories over at blindbargains.com. And you can check out us on Twitter at blindbargains, or you can email us feedback@blindbargains.com, or you can post on the show notes for this particular show. So we do appreciate doing all these things.
If you want to see some of the things that show up in the last word, and not all of them are scary or icky or make you want to maybe consider taking a very long shower afterwards, you can find my stuff over at twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. At the moment, it's talking about Doctor Who and video games because I'm working on a video game project at the moment. So
you missed my story, my second place for last word that I almost used. Bewildered beaver becomes accidental leader of 150 cows.
Oh, I saw that go flying by, but I didn't read that one. Which music one did you think was the one I was going to go with this week?
Oh, you tweeted something 3 or 4 days ago. It wasn't a mashup, but I think it was some sort of, now you're going to make me look for it. I don't know. You'll just have to wonder.
Yeah, there are several there. There was one this morning with harps at theremin, and they were doing songs from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So that one was kind of neat. All sorts of stuff can be found twitter.com/rangerstation. And some of it actually is related to blindness and assistive technology. So I do warn you though, I tweet a lot and I may tweet some on the Microsoft day. I know I'll tweet when we get to Google I/O. If you don't know, you can actually find Jay and I and other people doing catty, if not somewhat witty, remarks about various things when there's a major event. So an iPhone event, Google I/O, WWDC. If there's a keynote and it's probably going to take up a lot of information and bandwidth, we're probably watching it and making snide comments to one another. I'll do the same thing when we get to E3 and we get to the Xbox and PlayStation events.
Always fun times. Did you thank Patrick? I was busy looking for this. Oh, it was TV themes and minors.
Our microphones would just randomly cut off if we don't.
Yeah.
Do that. Thank you.
Please, Patrick. Happier because we're not recording late this week. So
that's true. That's true.
TV next themes week, and minor 99, was the one.
I actually wrote a whole like little ditty at the end of show notes for 99, and Jay reminded me next week's 98. So I actually have that sitting here, so I can add it into show notes. You on just this
paste that right episode. In, and then that's good. So we're good to copy, go. And then paste. Episode 100, where we have nothing special planned for episode 100 yet. So hey, send in your ideas because
absolutely, no, we're not kidding. We had not thought about it.
No idea what the heck. So if you're expecting a special show, well, it might just be
triple digits.
We'll yeah,
there you go. I actually joked about sesquicentennial, and that's what episode 150 will be
150.
Called.
You got 150. That's a little ways. That's next year. So thanks for listening, folks. We will see you next time.
Have a great week, everyone.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017. Wait, that's not the right theme. Oh, well.